It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We are live from the Racing Boys Studios here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show, everyone. Got a good show lined up for you today. You know that we always visit with our friend Steve Post, the Postman, on Wednesdays. We'll talk about what happened last weekend at Darlington and what's coming up this weekend at Kansas Speedway. Big weekend here for the Racing Boys at Kansas Speedway. Kirk Elliott and I will be out there this weekend. We'll have a pre-race show on Saturday before the Cup and the ARCA race, and we'll also have a pre-race show on Sunday before the Cup race out at Kansas Speedway. So if you want to tune in and listen to that, you can do so. It should be a good show. Also today, one of the busiest young men in the country. He is the owner of the Lucas Oil ASCS, the National Tour, the United Rebel Sprint Car Series, OCRS, NSL. What did I forget, Austin? I'm forgetting one.
Sooner region.
All the ASCS regions, right?
That's true.
That's all the ASCS regions. And anyway, Terry Maddox is going to join us today. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about the cancellation of the race up there at Black Hills because of the lack of tires. So he owns ASCS, OCRS, now 600, NSL, and the United Rebel Sprint Car Series. I got them all in that time, didn't I? All right. Austin, how you been doing, buddy? You doing all right? Everything okay with you?
About as good as you can be.
So you might be leaving today to go get your motor, right? Is that the case? You might be on the road. You don't know.
I don't know. Be more optimistic,
Austin. Don't be so Debbie Downer.
I act like I know, and then it turns around and bites me. So you know what? If I get the call when I leave, I get the call. If I don't, I'll be back here tomorrow.
So what you're trying to say is you're not setting yourself up for failure
right now, I guess, to
be disappointed because you're already disappointed. You wish he had it right now, and you wish he had it in your car right now so you could go down and race at the lake. At Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend, right? You're not going to do that Monette run, right?
No.
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't like that place. I got a list of things I could knock that place on, and we'll just say that for another day.
You know, it was funny because Tommy was listening to the show, and after he heard you talk about how it takes rubber down there and burns up tires, they decided maybe not to go to Monette.
Well, never mind the giant rock sitting in turn one. So
there's a rock in turn one?
Yeah, I mean, there's a legit rock sticking out of turn one. So if you're going to run the cushion, you better...
You got to hit the rock?
You got to drive through the rock.
Oh, my gosh.
I should have taken a picture of it when I was down there last time, but there's a good rock sitting up there.
Right at the top of the track?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, how about that?
It cut down at least, you know, two or three tires last time we were there.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to this week? I know that you want to race, obviously, but for us here in the Kansas City area, this is a pretty big weekend for us. You know, the USAC non-wing sprints are going to be racing Thursday night at Lakeside, Friday night at US 36, Saturday night at I-70 Speedway. I know people hate it when I say this. Some of the other racetracks around this area hate it when I say it. But those are our big three racetracks in this area, right?
No, you're right.
Right. I mean, they put on the major motorsports events of all the racetracks around here. Lakeside, US 36, and I-70 Speedway, those are the guys that put on the biggest events in the city. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I agree. And, you know, you have two tracks with Lakeside and I-70 being one of the most historical tracks in the Kansas City, region. You know, I saw a stat that it's been since, like, the 80s since USAC has raced on the dirt at I-70. It was the 90s when they ran pavement sprint cars there.
Right.
And to see that they were able to race on the pavement, able to race on the old dirt surface, now they're going to go back and race on the new dirt surface. And the same with Lakeside. They ran on dirt and pavement there. They haven't been there in 5 or 7 years now. So, I mean, it's just there's so much history in those two tracks that, you know, you bring in an organization like USAC. It's just, I mean, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, top flight stuff right there. Yeah, you know, my whole thing is that it's not I-70.
not what it used to be, but at least it's better than a field, right?
It's definitely better than sitting out there rotting away. So we want to thank Chris Payne for bringing that old girl back to life. I'd just like to see the drag strip get opened up, wouldn't you?
I know.
I'm going to take a good hard look at the facility out there when I'm out there on Saturday and see how much work they've done towards the drag strip.
I know when I was out there last year in September for the 305 Nationals, that the ground was all graded out and, you know, level. Just they were just waiting on, I guess, you know, infrastructure and groundwork to come
maybe
in and finish it up.
Maybe, Austin, they're waiting for the price of materials to come down.
Well,
I mean, seriously, go to a hardware store right now and buy something, and it's about 2 times higher than it normally is, right?
Yeah, not the best time to try and do what Chris Payne's doing at I-70. I mean, yeah. It's great that he's doing it, but, man, he lucked in probably one of the worst times to pull something off like that.
Yeah, and think about all the money he had to spend just to get that place open back up. We did all those live committee.
Yep, remember watching that.
And to be honest with you, that was as painful as pulling teeth.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible. In fact, I didn't even know if the racetrack was going to ever get open because the way they were approaching Chris Payne and the way they were approaching it about the noise and the people and everything else that they had to complain about, I just didn't think they were going to open it up. I didn't think it was going to pass.
Yeah, for a long time, like you said, it didn't look like it was going to take off. And, you know, it's for people that are around the track, you know, nobody's new that is moving into the area right around the track. They're all established and have been there for many years. And, you know, they were there when it was pavement. And I don't know why it wasn't an issue then, but it's an issue now.
Yeah. Well, I am so looking forward to tomorrow night getting out to Lakeside Speedway. I think we both said it yesterday. I think Robert Blues and Brady Bacon are the two guys that you really got to think about winning out there. I think Brady won the last non-wing race out there, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a good question. Let me find that.
All right. I do believe that was the case, that he won the last race out there. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Robert Blue was second or third in that race. But the most outstanding race I've ever seen at Lakeside Speedway with non-wing sprint cars is the night that Robert Ballou put all four wheels up in the fluff and just motor around everybody up in the fluff. It wasn't really even fluff, was it? It was mucky up there. Were you there that night? It was so mucky up there. He just put all four wheels. I think he accidentally found it. He slid up in there, passed a car up in the muck, and then from that point on, he put all four wheels up there and just ran around everybody and lapped nearly the entire field. I think he lapped all the way up to third or fourth place that night.
Oh, I believe it. You know, you don't call him a madman for nothing. You know, expect the unexpected with Robert, and you're going to, you know, two half miles that are, you know, elbows up, and you know who can just be the craziest behind the wheel, and you can go to US 36 where it's, I mean, it's the baddest bull ring in Missouri. And, you know, I mean, that's three tracks that'll fit Robert Ballou's driving style to perfection. And I can't wait to go and watch what he can provide us.
Now, you might not be going because you might be installing a motor in your car.
Well, I can do it in about 10 minutes, so I don't think,
You think you can get it and go to the races?
Oh, yeah. I should be at US 36, so
all right,
we'll see.
All right, good. Man, that's going to be a good show up there. You know, US 36 puts on about as good a show as anybody.
It's gotten a lot better in the recent years. I've never seen a non-wing race there, so that should be interesting.
They're great.
I know Brian Clausen holds the track record with the USAC sprint cars, so it'll be interesting to see if anybody can take him down.
Yeah. What tonight? There's quite a bit of television action going on tonight, isn't there? I mean, tonight, the World of Outlaws is going to be running at Lincoln. I'm going to be looking forward to that tonight. You know, I always love it when you get to watch some racing on streaming some events on Wednesday night. That's always good, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of takes you away from reality.
It does. So
who's your pick for tonight?
At Lincoln?
Yep. Posse or an outlaw?
Gosh. I'm going to say posse. What do you think?
I think Anthony Macri is going to do it. That's my pick.
He's tough to pick against, isn't he?
Especially right now.
What has he won? 8 or 9 races this year? I think it was 8.
Pretty, it's pretty close to that number.
Yeah. He's the winningest 410 driver in the country right now, I do believe.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you put a race in his backyard, you know, against, you know, the best drivers in the country right now, and he is, you know, number one. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a definite contender, and I think he was on the podium there last year. So, you know, if he can just step it up this year, it'll be fun.
Austin, you're really quick with your thumbs on your phone. Can you look up and see who won that race there last year?
Brad Sweet.
Was it Brad Sweet?
Yep.
Yeah.
Brent Marks was second or third, and Anthony Macri was filling in there.
Oh, okay. So, is Brad Sweet the guy to beat then?
No.
Why do you say? Because Macri's too tough right now?
No, I mean, you just look at Brad's season so far. He's only won one race, and that was at Votto, where the car count wasn't
That's
as
true.
Deep.
Good
you know,
point.
He hasn't had a typical Brad Sweet and Casey Kane racing year yet. He just hasn't fired off well. You know, he has good speed. He's consistent, but he hasn't shown us that he can be, you know, a 4-time reigning champion just yet. So, you know, I think they're still working on their package and fine-tuning it. I think it's going to be later in the year before we see Brad click off a couple more wins. But I mean, he might be in contention, but I don't think right now he is.
How are we not saying that Carson Macedo has a chance to win? He's got 4 wins with the World of Outlaws this year.
I mean,
he's got to be one of the favorites, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, nobody else has 4 wins with the Outlaws. I think 2 is second. So, you know, you definitely have to look at Carson as being a threat as well.
Gio Selzy has 2 wins. Sheldon Hodgshield has 2 wins. David Gravel has 2 wins. Carson Macedo has 4 wins. And Brad Sweet has 1 win. Let me look back down here to see if they're... And then 1 win also to Kyle Larson this year. And 1 win for Brett Marks. We had him on after that win.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I got to say Carson Macedo's got to be... You got to take him as a serious contender, man. He's showed a lot of speed this year.
Yeah, and he also went to Knoxville last weekend and won a weekly show there.
Do you think that's going to help him a little bit going to Knoxville before he heads out to the Pennsylvania because of those tracks and the configuration of those racetracks are a little bit similar to what you have at Knoxville? Do you think that's going to work to his advantage a little bit?
I think there's probably only one track that he can take any notes from. That'll be Knoxville to Port Royal because Williams Grove and Lincoln are shaped pretty close. Williams Grove is just longer with it being a half mile.
Right.
So I mean, you can always take notes over from big tracks, but I think with the tracks being so shaped differently and the dirt being so different, no dirt's close to Knoxville. So I don't know that going to Knoxville would have benefited them as much as you probably would think it did.
I gotta disagree with you a little bit. I don't disagree with you very often, but I gotta disagree with you a little bit. I think that running at Knoxville before you go to PA, before you run at Williams Grove, they don't go to Sealings Grove, do they?
I don't think they do. Not this year.
No, they don't. Let me look at the Outlaw schedule here. Let me pull that up. Schedule right here. So they're at Lincoln tonight, Williams Grove for 2 nights at the Morgan Cup, right?
Yes, Friday and Saturday.
Right, and then Tuesday of next week, they're at Bridgeport in New Jersey, and then they're at Attica, and then they're at Sharon's Speedway in Ohio. Then they move to Ohio, right? They go to Attica, Sharon, and Atomic after that, and then Lawrenceburg, Indiana. So I do think that it's going to help Carson Macedo at Williams Grove. I've been to Williams Grove, and it's a little similar to Knoxville. A little bit.
In what way?
Just big.
I mean, they can be big.
Right.
But
I don't know. Maybe
I bet you take that car to Knoxville, it will not drive the same. Granted, setups are different everywhere you go.
Well, the one thing that's different out at Williams Grove that I don't see anywhere else, maybe at Sealands Grove you see it, right, where they lift the right front tire up going down the straightaway. And remember, Brian Brown was talking about that's what you have to do to make your car work out there. I think the corners might be a little tighter at Williams.
Way tighter.
Yeah, yeah. They're not as sweeping. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You're probably right. You're a sprint car driver. I'm not. So I'll take your word at it. I'm not going to say that he's going to win the race, but I'm going to say he's going to be in contention.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tonight, also on streaming, you can watch the Flow Racing Night in America. They're going to be at Spoon River Speedway, and that's in Illinois. Austin, you getting into the late model stuff a little bit?
You know, just a little bit. I haven't sat down really, and I don't get to watch a lot of late model racing on the weekends. So yeah, the only races I get to catch are Flow Racing's, you know, Night in America. So I'll definitely catch tonight's race. But I like the aspect of racing that they bring, and something I need to, you know, definitely look into a little bit more.
What do you think about the showdown going on at Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend?
And in what way?
Well, are you? All right, we'll say this. All right, let's just touch on it a little bit. It's a bad weekend for sprint car fans if they got to make a choice.
It is,
right?
Tough weekend of the year,
right? You got three shows going on right here in the Kansas City area. You got Thursday night Lakeside, Friday night US 36, Saturday night I-70 Speedway. How many of the people do you think are going to leave Kansas City to go to Lucas Oil Speedway to watch the Show Me Showdown?
Maybe a few. Not a lot, because, I mean,
it's USAC non-wing sprints.
It is. No, right. PowerEye doesn't have the pull that USAC does. PowerEye won't pull fans away from USAC.
Yeah.
You won't ever see that.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a good show. Now, what are they running down there this weekend at Lucas Oil Speedway?
PowerEye Midgets, PowerEye non-wing sprint cars, and ASCS and Sooner Region sprint cars.
Mm. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me why you would schedule against each other.
Well, then also, too, on Friday night, PowerEye has a two-day weekend. So the Midgets and the Sprint Cars will be at both Valley Speedway and Lucas Oil. So, I mean, if you're running for PowerEye points, you can only go race Thursday night at Lakeside. You know, then you have to pull off the week's weekend sweep or swing and go down to Valley and Lucas Oil.
Where's War racing this weekend?
War?
Yeah.
Lucas Oil and Valley.
So they're at Valley on
Friday
night, Lucas Oil on Saturday night. I don't understand that either.
No.
Why wouldn't you let the people that are running War, why wouldn't they allow their guys to go run with the USAC National guys? They don't get a chance to do that very often. Now you're
especially in their own backyard,
right? And how silly is it? I'll just say it. How silly is it for Valley to run a non-wing show on Friday night when the USAC National guys are going to be running up at US 36 on Friday night? Doesn't make much sense to me.
No. And you'd think in this day and age that we would be working together with series and promoters and not having this scheduling conflict.
Wouldn't you think that it would be of the best interest to allow your guys to go run with the National USAC guys just to get a little experience running with them a little bit? I would think that I wouldn't book a show that weekend, and I wouldn't book a show that's an hour away from each other.
You won't have any fans, too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Where are your fans going to go?
They're going to be up at US 36.
I mean, and I-70. So
right.
If I had a choice, I wouldn't go to a Power I race. I would go to the USAC race. I'm going to get a better show.
It has nothing to do with Power I. It's just because of the conflict of them running against each other.
Well, I'm deciding between two different series.
Right.
Do I want to go where you got national star power, like we talked about yesterday with ASCS and the World of Outlaws, or do I want to go, you know, to our local regional, you know, sprint car series?
How many cars do you think they'll have at Valley?
16.
You think they'll have that many?
I'm shooting on the high side. They had 12 last week.
You think they'll have that many? I don't think they will.
I'll go to 12.
I'm going to say 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to be very much.
The guys that are going to be running with war are the guys running for points, right? If I'm a traditional non-wing sprint car driver, I'm going to want to go run with the guys, with the USAC guys.
If you're not locked into running for points, you would be.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we're going to take a break when we come back. Steve Post is going to join us. You know who Steve is. He's the host of Wing Nation. He's also the lead pit reporter for MRN. Does a great job at doing all that stuff. He's got a lot of other shows that we can talk about as well. He's going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. This is episode 87. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the sprinkling, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I don't know if you've heard about what's going on up there, but they've got a tribute to Ascot Park in Gardena, California. And, man, it is such a great display. It started on May 1st, and it's going to go through October 1st, and it's inside the museum. You can go in there, and you can learn about the drivers. You can see a lot of the cars that raced at Ascot Park. And they're also going to have T-shirts and posters and all kinds of stuff. That's about Ascot Park. And listen, folks, I went out there when I was a kid. I watched the races out there in the early 80s. What a great venue it was. And this is a great tribute to Ascot Park. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Again, it's going to go through October 1st. You have plenty of time. If you're going to go to Knoxville Raceway, what a better time than to walk over across the street or across the track. Go to Turn 2, check out the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You can go in to their the shopping area and purchase anything that you would like to purchase in there. They got T-shirts, mugs, all kinds of National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum merchandise in there. And if you can't make it there in person, you can always go to their 24/7 online store. It's called SprintCarStuff.com. That's SprintCarStuff.com. But better yet, go up to Knoxville, watch some races, and take a visit over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, would you? And make sure you tell Bob Baker the Racing Boys sent you up there. It is such a great, great time anytime you can go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. All right, joining us now on the show is a great friend of the Racing Boys, Steve Post. Postman, how you doing, bud?
I am well. How's things out in the heartland this week?
Well, it's a good week for us. We've got the National USAC Midgets. Sprint's going to be running here on Thursday night. They're going to be at Lakeside Speedway. Friday night, US 36, and then on Saturday night, I-70 Speedway. A good dose of non-wing sprint car action this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited about that out there. I just coordinated all my travel schedules and coordinated myself right out of seeing any racing out there as far as the dirt tracks go. I don't get in normally. What happened is I looked and I saw that Lakeside didn't run on Friday night. The sprint cars. I know they have a late model show on Friday night.
Yep.
And so I'm like, okay, well, whenever they're going to fly me out there, I didn't make any special requests. So we don't land out there till like 5:30 at the Kansas City airport.
On what day is that?
On Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the problem is that I'm traveling with other people, and we're staying down in Overland Park. So
that's a long way.
We get rental cars and everything. It'll be 7 o'clock before I get to the hotel. And then I just looking at it, it's an hour and 15 minutes or so up to US 36 that I just don't know that that's going to happen. So,
right.
And then we have Saturday night, the truck races during the evening. So,
yeah,
is what it is, but it is, it's a great weekend out there. And, I'd love to see some of those races. And I hope fans in that area get a chance to go out and see some sprint car racing. It's great.
Yeah, you know, that's a bummer. You know, we're sitting here debating about this, Steve, and I don't understand why anybody would do this, but there's another series. It's called the Wingless Auto Racing Series that races around here. It's called War, and they're going to be racing. And just think about this for a minute. Try to get your head around this for just a moment, right? US 36 is about 45 minutes from Kansas City. Valley Speedway, you know where that's at, Valley Speedway.
Yep.
They're going to run non-wing sprint cars on the same night that US 36 is going to be running with the National USAC non-wing sprint cars. That doesn't make much sense to me.
No, it's insane.
Right.
Are you know, they're to me, and I don't know anybody involved with anything there, okay?
Right.
To me, somebody is not thinking about the sprint car drivers and teams.
Or the fans. Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because to me, here's the thing, whichever event you're on the side of, okay, wherever you fall on this.
Right.
If we get traditional sprint car racing better by not racing against each other, by consolidating and seeing some good shows.
I agree.
And that if you go, you pick your date away from everyone else's date and go grab your piece of the pie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
now you're taking that pie and you're splitting the pie.
And the bad thing about it is, I believe USAC put out their schedule before War did. So they just automatically just booked on top of them. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's that whole mindset. If we've, you know, I mean, we've, and we see that every once in a while where tracks or series or sanctioning bodies get into a pissing contest. Who has ever won that? I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, someone might win it at the end of the day, but it cost them money winning it.
Yeah.
The fans, you know, there's, and I heard you in Austin, so let's say there's 10 or 12 cars. Those 10 or 12 cars would look really good added to the field at US 36.
No doubt.
You know, or six or seven of them if five aren't going there anyhow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just makes no sense at all. And again, I don't know any of the details, but
right.
that just seems foolish to me.
Right. I'm with you. So the World of Outlaws is going to race tonight at Lincoln. Danny Dietrich, I think he's won four races up there, somebody said on the chat room. Is he the favorite going into that race, or is Anthony Macri the favorite going into that race?
I think when we look at Lincoln, it's got to be Dietrich. Macri overall, his overall body of work has been good, and he does have one win at Lincoln. And he's crowed a lot about that win at Lincoln because it's not been a good track for him. Mm-hmm. So he's got, and his program is so good. But, you know, Danny has just had Lincoln figured out this year with four wins down there. And I forget, the numbers are ungodly. It's like, and then the other ones are all top fives or something like that. I mean, he really has a setup there. So when you look at it, I think if I had to pick one favorite, it would be Dietrich. But as good as Macri is, as good as Marks is, as good as Carson Macedo has been this year, and you can go down the list. There's others that are going to be in the hunt. But if I had to pick one right now, I would think it'd be Danny Dietrich.
You know, Brad Sweet won there last year, but he's having a non-typical season. He's only got one win this year. What do you think's going on with Brad Sweet? Do you think they'll rally and they'll start clicking off a bunch of wins as the season goes on?
Yeah, it seems to me like they're a little bit off the mark.
Yeah.
The problem they're having is, and all teams get off the mark. Okay.
Yep.
The problem they're having is that how do you get back on the mark? You get racing. Mm-hmm. And last weekend didn't help them with the World of Outlaws raining out at Eldora.
Right.
And so, I mean, I will be shocked if Brad Sweet is not in the title conversation in the summer and the fall, and will be in the surprise category if he doesn't win the championship. I just think that team is that good. I think the challenge is they may be a little bit off, and not getting a chance to race as much doesn't help them get back on course faster. The reality of it is, though, Scott, when they get back on course, then I think we get Brad Sweet of the last 3 years where he's just knocking down wins and top five finishes. So I have no worry about that team as far as performance goes. I just think that you know, they get racing a little bit more frequently, and he's going to be sorting that thing out. They'll be just fine.
You think Brad's better when we get into the heat of the summer, when the tracks slick off and there's less grip? You know, right now at the start of the season, we've had a lot of rainy weather around here. There's a lot of grip. Do you think that he's better when it slicks off? You think that's where he excels a little bit more?
Well, I'm not sure if it's when it's slicked off or there's more money on the line.
Right.
You know, I mean, and they're about the same time of the year. But the month of money, here's what I find is, here's where I think is why Brad Sweet stands out now. Okay?
Yep.
I don't think Brad Sweet has ran, he's obviously good. Spring has never been his time. What usually skews it, though, is he goes to Volusia and wins a time or two down there.
Yeah.
So he did not win at Volusia this year. I think that kind of skews the numbers a little bit, so that we're like, huh, is something wrong with Brad?
Right.
No, I think Brad's probably performing about the way he does every spring. He just didn't get that Volusia win or two to pad the win tally to be like, well, he's already got a couple wins this season. He'll be good to go.
Yeah.
I really think that him not winning at Volusia this year was, like I said, I think that has skewed his spring stats over the course of time.
Yeah. Do you think, Austin and I talked about this a little bit before the break, do you think Carson Macedo running at Knoxville last weekend, does that help him when he goes to Williams Grove or not?
I don't know if it helps him when he goes to Williams Grove. It's such a unique track.
Right.
I just don't know. I think if you're talking Port or Steelens Grove, and I've talked a lot, I know you've talked a lot to Brownie about that. You know, Port and Steelens Grove are so much more rounded, like Knoxville is. And so
right.
I think, so I don't think when we look at this thing, I don't think we say, that this helps him specifically Friday and Saturday night at Williams Grove. Now, back to the Brad Sweet point, he's racing. He's out there getting better. They're keeping momentum on their side. They're keeping all of that stuff on their side. So to me, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he won last fall there at Williams Grove. You know, I think the momentum and those type things, I don't know that the half-mile program per se translates between the two tracks. Maybe there's something, but I don't see a lot of it.
And that's probably because of the tightness of the turns at Williams Grove versus the sweeping corners of Knoxville. Would you think that would be the biggest difference?
Yeah, and I heard you and Austin talking. I've talked to a lot of people about this. Williams Grove is just strange.
Yeah,
I mean, when they come down the front stretch and they're picking up that right front tire,
it's crazy.
It's like,
yeah.
Huh? What
yeah.
You know? What is that? You know? And it's just so different. The turns are tight and everything else. So I don't know where Knoxville is so much more rolling. Yeah, I'm just dialing it up. Okay. I don't know that Carson Macedo going to Knoxville helped him at Williams Grove, but I don't know if he needs much help at Williams Grove.
That's
he
true.
Won twice there last year.
Yeah, and he's the leading World of Outlaws winner this year with four.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and that last one was the National Open
right.
at Williams Grove.
Right, right.
So I think if Carson Macedo goes in and wins the Morgan Cup this weekend, I don't know that we can point to Knoxville for that. I think we can point to he's having a great year with the four wins thus far,
right.
And he's got Williams Grove figured out pretty well also.
All right, Steve, we got to get into the subject of what happened in the Cup race at Darlington last weekend. Joey Logano, he boots William Byron out of the way. He felt that he was squeezed up into the wall prior to that when Byron was taking the lead. Your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, it's interesting because I've been reading and listening and watching a lot about this.
Right.
Okay, and I watched a video blog of Kyle Petty, Jeff Burton, and Parker Kligerman. It's an NBC Sports thing. I watched the three of them. Okay. And when you look at what happened in turn number two to Joey and William before 37 laps before then or whatever it
right.
was,
yep.
Those three drivers who have 1,000 starts between them, they couldn't make a call on what happened down there in turn number two. So Joey felt wronged down there, and he felt wronged in that. And I had Todd Gordon, who was formerly with Penske Racing, here, if you're in Joey's seat, he forced me up into the wall where I had to check up and give up the lead. I'm going to do whatever it needs to do to force him to give up the lead.
Right.
It's simple as that, really.
Yeah.
And so Joey rallies back, catches him, gives him a boot in the keister, and he really did give him a boot in the keister.
Yep.
And up the racetrack goes William Byron. If drivers, the guys like that can't figure out, you know, can't make a call on it, I'll be darned if I can figure it out. But I will say this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If Joey Logano is closing in on you with a lap or two left in the feature or the race,
you know what's coming.
You know what's coming. He has got a reputation.
Right.
You know, and you know what's coming. And the thing of it is that, you know, one of the things Gordon talked about a little bit was, you know, did William slow down a little bit more to protect? He was already slowed down a lot because the handling went away on the car.
Yeah.
He slowed down a little bit more, which meant that Joey plowed into him a little bit harder. The problem is everyone's like, well, why didn't Joey try to pass him? Well, Darlington is such a momentum track. You try to pass and you fail. It takes you another lap or two to get your momentum up.
We're
coming to the white flag.
Right, right.
So there's not that. There's also another factor that I hadn't thought about. Joey looks in the mirror, and about six car lengths behind him is Tyler Reddick.
That's true.
They get up there scrambling. Joey and William start throwing haymakers at each other.
Yeah.
They're throwing haymakers at each other for third place because Reddick's going by both of them.
Yeah.
So when you put it all together, good move, bad move. There's a lot of people that hate Joey Logano, so automatically it's a bad move. But the bottom line is that you see it coming. You knew it was coming, and he was very in character with what Joey did, and he felt wronged on that previous dust-up between the two of them. And he said, if I'm going to be wrong, you're going to be wrong too. He did not apologize about it. He just stated it as a matter of fact.
Well, you know, is Joey maybe – gosh, I hate to say this and put you on the spot, but is he the – when it comes to running somebody rough, is he the last person you want to do that to in the Cup Series? Because he's got that reputation of payback. Is Joey, I hate to use the word Earnhardt, but is he kind of the new Earnhardt? Because people know when he's behind you and if you're leading the race, he's going to lay the bumper to you. Do people think like that about Joey?
I think they have to.
Right.
If you're not, you're not paying attention.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a pretty good track record of this, you know, and that's where, you know, I mean, I couldn't believe it. With 10 laps to go, I made my way to William Byron's pit area because I was getting ready to climb on top of the pit box and celebrate with the crew and talk to Rudy Fugel.
Right.
With 6 laps to go, I looked up and it's like, oh my gosh, Logano is flying and William Byron is not.
Right.
When they came down the front stretch with 5 laps to go, I'm like, I'm in the wrong spot because Joey is going to catch William, and when Joey catches William, he's going to get into him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's as a matter of fact that that's going to happen. And Joey is unapologetic about it. Joey, you know, I'm here for one thing at that point to win the race.
To win.
And I won the race. Mission accomplished. He may be a little sorry that there's hurt feelings. He may not be sorry that there's hurt feelings. I don't know about that.
Right.
But he's not sorry for the move at all.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Kansas Speedway. You know, we were at Las Vegas, and you know, you can say what you want about that race. Are we optimistic that we're going to see a better 1.5-mile race at Kansas Speedway than maybe we saw out at Las Vegas, Steve?
Yeah. Kansas with the wear factors, getting up around the wall. I think when we look at Kansas, I think you look at maybe a little bit more what we saw at Auto Club Speedway.
Yeah.
And granted, there's a lot of differences. But Auto Club Speedway, they were up against the fence, but a car that could maneuver a groove or two down or even down on the bottom could make a lot of progress. Eric Jones was able to Tyler Reddick, remember that race? Tyler Reddick was leading that race, and he was up against the fence. Eric Jones gave him a pretty good run because Eric had a car that's maneuverable. Mm-hmm. The track at Kansas, there will be guys that will figure out the middle or the bottom of the racetrack, and I think that gives us a really good race. I think that this car has really done well on intermediate tracks, and I think Kansas and Homestead are the two best intermediate tracks. So I am very optimistic about what we're going to have this weekend. I just think we're going to have a good race. I really do, because right. I think that surface in Kansas lends itself to a lot of moving around and guys figuring out these cars. And I think we're in for a treat this Sunday. I really do.
Yeah, we're visiting with Steve Post. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to visit with us every Wednesday here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, Mostly Motorsports brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. So, Steve, this weekend, the truck race is going to be on Saturday, the ARCA and truck race on Saturday. Talk a little bit about that truck race, and who do you think is the person to beat in the truck series at Kansas Speedway?
Well, the way this year has been, and he's coming off a bad finish, but it's his only bad finish, Zane Smith has just been so good. Mm-hmm. So I think Zane Smith is going to be good running the front row Motorsports Ford. And then I really think John Hunter Nemechek had a little bit of a dry spell, if you will. He got the win at Darlington. He's going to have good speed as well. So if I had to, you know, narrow down a couple of guys, it'd be those two. I think Chandler Smith will look really, really good in the other Kyle Busch truck. You know, Corey Heim, I think, is in the third Kyle Busch truck, and he's ran well there in the ARCA car in the past. But I think it gets down to a Kyle Busch Motorsports versus Zane Smith contest. I'm anxious to see how Thor Sport does, whether Matt Crafton can turn things around there with this, or how Ben Rhodes does, or someone like that. But I think you've got to look at that Kyle Busch team, particularly John Hunter Nemechek, and Zane Smith would be the two that I would probably be keeping my eye on. If I'm going over to the Hollywood Casino and putting a little money down, I think that's probably the direction that I would look in as a starting point. Now, qualifying and practice may tell us something different, but I think sitting here on Wednesday, I think that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Right. All right, Steve, let us know what you got coming up on Wing Nation and some of the other shows that you're doing this week.
Wing Nation, tomorrow on Wing Nation, Aaron Evernham is sitting down with Justin Adams. Justin is the director of competition for Casey Kane Racing and has been crew chief for James McFadden over the course of time. And so kind of a tech talk, a crew chief, engineer sort of conversation between Aaron and Justin Adams. And then this weekend on MAV TV, one of our old buddies, Sam Haferty Jr., joins us. He looked awful good at Knoxville on Saturday night. And so we decided to dial him up, and we talked to Sam about racing. We talked a little 360 racing. We talked a lot of 410 racing. We talked about the wedding, the honeymoon, his kid. We had a really good visit with Sam. So that's what's coming up this weekend on MAV TV is Sam Haferty Jr. is our guest on the show this weekend.
Steve, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us again. It's all brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys again for allowing you to come on the show each and every week with us. I'll see you this weekend, brother. I can't wait to run into you. Maybe we'll have us a beer somewhere along the way.
Looking forward to catching up with you, that's for sure. I'd love to do that. We'll have to see how we can make that work.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right,
you got it, Scott.
All right, bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Terry Maddox joins us here next on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen-printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen-printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And this is episode... Austin, it's hard to believe. This is episode number 87. We're almost made it to 100. Are you shocked that it's 87 already?
Yeah.
It seems like just yesterday we started doing this show.
I know. I was driving into work today, and I'm like, you know... Because I was writing down episode numbers, and I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm writing down 87 right now.
Right.
I can't remember back. I don't remember what we did in episode 35.
Welcome to the club.
I know.
Well, you're getting that old man disease hanging around us old guys here.
Well, I better change that then.
Right. You better quit doing that. All right. Joining us now on the show is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. He's just the man of promotions. Terry Maddox joins us now. Terry, how you doing, bud?
Oh, we're living the dream. How about you all?
Oh, you know, we're just doing what we do, sitting around the studio 6 days a week talking. That's all we do. That's all we do around here. You know, it, me and Austin and Kirk just hang out and shoot the bull, and it's going pretty good. So, man, I hated to hear the news about Black Hills. I know that the tire situation is pretty tough right now. Take us through that just for a second, would you?
Right now, Hoosier's been having a problem getting some nylon in to make our medium tires, and they put a little bit out into the market, you would say, and it's been a limited supply, and we were told that there was not going to be any tires going to Rapid City, and in order to save all of our teams the drive to go up there and not have to worry about tires, we just had to make the announcement that we had to cancel the event just so we don't go up there and take any chances.
Yeah. Terry, do you think there's a chance that we could get into trouble during the heat of the summer? We've been talking about that quite a bit here on the show, that when you get into, you know, July and August, when the tracks start slicking off and they start burning up tires, do you feel that we'll have tires by then, or do you feel we might have a problem by then?
I've been told that we should be, by the summertime, we should be sitting pretty good on tires, but you just never know with how everything's going on in the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, that has to be a tough spot for somebody that promotes so many sprint car series. Tell us how you're going to have to do it. Does this affect any of the other series that you're running with the NSL, the Rebel Series, the Now 600, OCRS? Does that affect any of those series as well?
Yeah, because our OCRS, our USL, and ASCS run that medium tire and having a hard time getting it. The OCRS also allows the Race Saver tire, which is also ran in URSS, and they're having problems getting Race Saver tires out too. But luckily, we haven't had to burn any tires up lately on our regional deals or OCRS or URSS. So right now, we're smooth sailing, and unless we come into some issues where we start burning up tires and then have to be in the boat that we're in with ASCS right now.
You know, there was some rumor going around, and we read it, and I don't know if anybody's really considering doing it, but do you think that we're universally that we're going to come up with a right rear tire that works for everybody, the Outlaws, ASCS? Do you think that's a good plan?
I'm on the fence about it. I mean, it may be easier for Hoosier to make one tire instead of making, you know, five or six different ones, and maybe it'll help production, but I mean, I don't really know what the answer would be right now.
Yeah. Well, that would be a tough scenario for everybody, because we don't know that tire, right? If they were to come in with a new tire that everybody ran, it would there'd be a learning process for everybody to go through and learn how to use that tire and how to use it during, you know, an event. I would think that'd be kind of tough for everybody, wouldn't it?
It would be, especially, you know, with everyone having to figure it out. Is it going to hold up, or how's it going to, you know, handle the car? And I mean, there's so many different scenarios to think about if that happens.
Yeah, no doubt. Terry, how busy have you been, bud? You've got all this stuff going on. I know that you're not afraid of work. I know that. But how's the workload working for you right now? Is it kind of heavy right now?
Oh, no, everything's starting to, you know, pan out the way I needed it to, having all these people in spots to help me run all these different series. And my co-promoter, Carrie Gorby, has been behind the scenes helping out with some of the stuff around here, too. And everything's going smoothly. We just get racing.
Yeah. The Show Me Showdown is this weekend down at Lucas Oil Speedway. What format are you guys going to run down there this weekend? Do you know?
All of our regional tours will be running the normal passing point format. The only time you'll see the qualifying and the passing points is on national shows only.
Oh, is that right? All right. What has been the feedback from the competitors that run with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour about the change in of the format? It seems like it's pretty positive to me.
Everyone has liked it. It's not putting us appeal number as your night. You know, you go out there and you qualify against your heat race and try to set fast time. Then we put an invert in there four, and then we use those qualifying points and add those together, the heat racing points. So it really puts the driver in the seat to determine their night instead of just the pill number.
Right, right. Tell me how the Now 600 is going for you right now, Terry. I know that's your baby, right?
Oh, it's still going pretty strong. Last weekend we ran at Port City Raceway, and we had 61 non-wing cars, 46 A-class, and 44 restrictors. So we're doing pretty good on that so far.
Yeah. Terry, do you think that, and maybe I've asked you this question before, and excuse me if I have, but do you think that the way that you're doing things with micros, with OCRS, with the Rebel Series, the ASCS regional action, do you think that prepares people that those are the steps that they can go through to work their way up to the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour?
That's how we look at it. You can start out racing with us in the restricted micros and then move up to A-class and non-wing. And then we also have an outlaw class here and there, so you could run that. And then you can jump over into a two-barrel or a 305 and run our OCRS or URSS, get some time around the region with that. Then you can move up to the 360 injected stuff to run our regional stuff. And then when you get ready to go, we have another step that you can go up to the national tour.
Yeah. It sounds like a great process, what you guys are doing over there, and we sure appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I know that it's kind of tough talking about tires, man. That's the biggest topic in the country right now, right? Everybody wants to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm tired of talking about it because I'm just ready to go racing and getting back to normal, if only that was the way the world works. But there's always going to be obstacles that you have to endeavor, and so I guess right out the gate, this is the one I have to.
Well, I'm sorry that I drug you through the mud today on it, my friend.
Oh, you're good, bud.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the show. I'm so happy for everything that you're doing right now, and I'm so proud of everything that you've accomplished at such a young age. Man, just I hope that you continue this success, and I hope it all works out for you, bud.
I appreciate you. If you're around town on Thursday, come out and join us at Lakeside. I'm putting on a USAC National Sprint Car Show.
All right. I will be there for sure. I'll see you then.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate y'all.
All right. We'll see you later, Terry. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Terry Maddox. Man, that guy, he's just a worker. You can't ever say that guy's lazy.
I've never seen someone work and have that great of work ethic that Terry has.
He's got it going on.
Nobody. How many people do you see that own, I'm going to probably guess the wrong amount, 5 or 6 sprint car series? I'm pretty
sure. Nobody.
Nobody. No, nobody. It's an incredible amount of work, and you know, I'm glad he took on the challenge and has provided us, you know, a great place to go race.
Right, right. Hey, again, we want to remind everybody you need to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and see the Ascot Park tribute that they have up there. It's inside the museum. It started on May 1st. It's going to go through October 1st. It's a great exhibit. They're going to tell you a lot about the drivers. They're going to have a lot of the cars up there as well. They're going to have T-shirts and posters, all kinds of great stuff about Ascot Park in Gardena, California. You need to get up there. If you're going to go to Knoxville and watch the races, you've got to go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They got great things going on over there, folks. Get over there, and if you can't get there in person, you can always shop 24/7 online at SprintCarStuff.com. That's SprintCarStuff.com. But better yet, go up and visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, who's hanging out with us here in the studio, I'm Scott Traylor. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow. Who we got on tomorrow, Austin? Who do we got?
Pat Warren.
Pat Warren, the president of Kansas Speedway, and you never know who else might join us tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.